Good evening. Welcome to Lesbian Nation. Some news of the community. An all-women's dance will be held tomorrow night at 9 p.m. at the Church of the Holy Apostles at 28th Street and 9th Avenue. The proceeds will go to the Women's Liberation Building. If you haven't seen the new building yet, a good time to visit is Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 7 p.m. The Food Conspiracy meets there, 243 West 20th. And you can purchase a liberated eggplant while signing up for the repair and decoration committees. First item of business is plumbing, so all you plumbers get there. This Sunday, the Lesbian Liberation Committee of GAA will hold another picnic in Central Park. Bring friends and food at 1 p.m. to the Delacorte Theater, and festivities will proceed from there. For those of you who could not attend last Sunday's film showing at the Firehouse, two 16-minute shorts, Susan and Holding, were shown. These are distributed by the Community Sex Information and Education Service and depict masturbation and lesbian lovemaking. Susan, the film on masturbation, was poorly received due to its emphasis on vibrators. Holding managed to arouse the interest of the audience and will be shown again sometime this winter. Tonight's program will consist of a taped interview with Jean Damon, editor of The Ladder, America's first lesbian magazine, and Jan Watson, who recently became The Ladder's production assistant. Previously, music on Lesbian Nation has been provided by the record library of WBAI, but tonight we present lesbian music, which will be provided by Flash and by a group called Sister. Truth. sitting in the middle of Kansas City watching some candles and talking to Gene Damon, who is the letter editor of the Ladder and has been so for some time. And Jan Watson, who, what department are you working in?
I'm a production assistant.
And you'll have to come a little closer.
Yeah, okay.
What does a production assistant do?
I'm doing the indexing of the past issues, and I am kind of a runner for Gene Damon and finding books and things like that.
And I gather from having worked for the Ladder in various capacities over some years that your main job is finding other people to do the work.
That's true. That's what good editors do. They find other people to do their work for them.
How do you go about doing that, besides writing charming letters?
That's primarily it. The Ladder staff is spread all over the continental United States and Canada, Nova Scotia to Southern California. Everything is done by mail, although the actual publishing is done in Reno, Nevada. Most people volunteer their services because it's strictly a nonprofit magazine. Primary purposes: liberation for all women, with primary emphasis on the lesbian woman.
How did you get into it?
The Ladder formerly was the official magazine of the organization called Daughters of Bilitis, with which the New York audience will be familiar. And in August of 1968, I became editor of the magazine by default, which is the way editors are always chosen. For magazines for which there is no salary payable. There was no one else to do the work, and I had worked on the magazine since March of 1957 in one capacity or other.
Well, I mean, how did you get into it from the beginning?
As I recall, I simply heard that there was a lesbian magazine, and I sent for it. And in 1957, a lesbian magazine was... It was, of course, the only one, so calling it unique doesn't qualify, but... It was an unusual thing, and I sent for it. I liked it very much the minute I saw it and decided that that was what I was going to spend the rest of my life doing.
Didn't you get paranoid? I mean, living out here in Kansas City in 1957?
No, I didn't really get paranoid because I've never had any trouble about being a lesbian. I've never had any trouble being fairly open about it. I'm not talking about gay liberation, running through the streets with signs, but I've always been open and above board, and those people who've known me who haven't figured out that I was a lesbian by their own intuition, I've told one way or another through the years, because it seemed unnecessary and not particularly intelligent to wave false banners. I didn't wish to be known as a heterosexual.
How about you? How'd you get into the Ladder?
I had known Gene for a number of years and knew what she was involved in, and then subscribed to the Ladder. And finally just called and asked if I could be of help, because she was pleading in each issue. I just volunteered.
So you were living in the same area?
Yes, I've been living in Kansas City and was exposed to her on a personal basis through helping her
in a job
capacity. Yeah.
I see, and some of that exposure seems to have taken.
Yes.
Meaning that the two of you are living together.
Yes, we are living together. We have been living together for really a short period of time, a matter of months.
What else goes on in Kansas City that would be of interest to New York people who are lesbians?
Well, the primary thing I think that would be of interest is that there is no separation in Kansas City between the gay women, the lesbians, and the quote-unquote straight women in the women's liberation movement. They work together, interact together, function together very well.
When you said before straight, quote-unquote, women, what did you mean by that?
That very few women in women's liberation seem to remain straight for any length of time. Those that are not actively gay seem to become so. There are a variety of theories, of course, city to city as to why this is. I think the best possible explanation might be that they were all gay to begin with, not to say that only women who would be interested in women's liberation are gay. It's just possible that most women would be gay if they were allowed to be.
So you would say that the women's liberation isn't exactly a lesbian plot, but that it just sort of, the women's liberation movement is more or less the major cause of lesbianism in the United States today?
I don't think so, but it is certainly the, it is acting as a catalyst, bringing more and more covert lesbians out of the closet, and it is helping the very young lesbian to come out more rapidly and more readily than was true when I was young. I can't count myself among these because I was lucky in my family life to have a family that considered being a lesbian not particularly surprising or strange, but I've yet to meet another woman who has had the same experience. Primarily, the problem has been through the years being able to come out, and in many cases, once they are out, being able to live with the fact in a society which, up until recently, considered such orientation the worst possible crime.
How about you, Jan? What happened to you when you came out? Or what was your family's thing?
Well, lots of good things happened to me when I came out. My family is not one of them, though. No, I have become the black sheep of the family, and I am only recently out, although I've known all my life that I was a lesbian. And due to the societal pressures that Jean was talking about, I couldn't make the jump until a few years ago.
Does your family know about it?
Yes. Yes, I informed my family and was promptly discarded.
So you've been sort of disinherited and stuff?
Yes, you might say that. I don't know where it'll go. It, they may come around, but at the present time, no. I don't have the luck that Jean had with her family.
Yeah, well, mine still thinks I'm going through a phase for the last 10 years. We just grow a little slowly in our family. I've read The Ladder off and on over the last few years and was wondering if you might want to talk some about how you put it together and what kind of things you try to include in it.
Well, if you mean what type of things are carried in the magazine, the whole emphasis of the magazine, of course, is women's liberation with the primary focus on lesbians. And we run nonfiction, fiction, poetry, an art column, letters to the editor, book column, a book review column. We try to review every lesbian title published in the United States or in England in the fields of fiction, poetry, drama, biography, and we also try to review everything that comes out in the women's liberation field, and that includes not only the books and things in mass or public media, but everything that's privately printed in the small women's collective presses, and try to provide really information on all these areas to our readers. We have an occasional music article, although because of the oppression of women in the country, there are very few women prominent in music. We talk about theoretical progress in the women's liberation movement, both from mass media sources and the more in-group sources. Magazine is put together, as I said before, on a strictly voluntary basis. We write to people who show any interest in perhaps contributing and ask them to help, whether the helping means cutting clippings from their local newspapers and sending them in, or magazines they read. Some people write for us, some write rather regularly, others pop up every now and then and write very occasionally. We carry known, quote-unquote, writers, and we also run a great many people who've never published anywhere but in the pages of The Ladder. And our quality ranges, as is possibly true of any magazine run the way this magazine is run, from fairly mediocre to fairly good, with an occasional spot of excellence.
And you're the one who does the picking and choosing.
I do some of the picking and choosing. I do the picking and choosing in fiction, Another woman vets the poetry that we receive because she's qualified to do this and chooses the poetry that will be included in the magazine. Another woman writes the book reviews in nonfiction areas. I write the book reviews in fiction areas because that's my primary field of interest. Another woman writes much of our nonfiction. In fact, about five women really divide up the writing of the nonfiction on a staple or stable basis. The latter stable of nonfiction writers now consists of five who will write more or less to order. We also carry a great deal in biographical material on famous women, famous lesbians, and there again that's famous quote unquote because there's no real way of determining what is famous. So to say prominent women of past times or recently past times.
Not including prominent women of present day.
No, because you cannot come out in print yet and say so-and-so is a lesbian, not if you wish to continue coming out in print.
So you've been doing this magazine pretty much your own self since, I mean, with other people's aid, but fully responsible for it since 1968.
No, not true. In 1968, when I became editor, as I said, the magazine was the official publication of the National Organization of the Daughters of Bilitis, which made me responsible to the then board of directors of the organization, and the magazine was more group-oriented. That is, it contained a great deal of material about the local workings of the various DOB chapters and things along this line. In July of 1970, at the last national meeting of that organization, the organization disbanded its national status and went into individual chapter status. And at that time, the magazine, the latter, was divorced from the organization and became an independent magazine. So since August of 1970, the magazine has been an independent lesbian and women's liberation publication, as I said, published in Reno, Nevada. Prior to that time, it was published in San Francisco, California. The magazine's format changed radically at that time, went up to, at that time, 48 pages. It's now a 56-page slick bi-monthly. And an attempt was made, deliberate and specific attempt, to raise the quality of the magazine, and we've been fortunate in attracting, in recent times, a better quality of writer. I don't think this has anything to do with the divorce, per se, from the organization Daughters of Bilitis. In fact, I know it doesn't. It has a great deal to do, though, with the increased amount of attention spent on the magazine, the amount of hours actually put into it without any other distraction. That is, the magazine is the primary interest of the people working on it. And also, of course, the increasing freedom of the times with I don't think there can be any question, but what the male homosexual Stonewall riots of 1969, is that correct? Is it 68?
Yeah, but it wasn't totally male. I was there and there were quite a number of women.
All right, there were a great many women involved in that, but I think of that as a male thing because gay liberation has come, by definition, to be thought of in male terms. I don't wish to argue the dichotomy between the male homosexual and the lesbian, but they don't really have a great deal in common, and most lesbians are deserting the male organizations in droves to go into women's liberation, where they are not only more welcome, but more suited. And the change in the magazine, with the emphasis totally on lesbians and on women's liberation, has increased the circulation and the quality of the magazine greatly. Well, quality must have improved because the circulation of it has gone up four times over from the time I became editor of it. It's now four times greater than it was then.
Does it pay for itself? I mean, I'm not talking about salaries or anything. Does it, you know, keep running?
At the present time, it is running like the Beatles song with a little help from our friends. It is virtually at the point of paying for itself. If its growth continues the way it's been going in recent months, it will be self-sustaining, and I have every reason to believe that it will become self-sustaining. But that is not to say that donations and contributions are not welcome, and there have been many women through the years who have contributed a great deal in terms of money as well as labor to the magazine.
Okay, our friends out there, where do we send money? Plus subscription requests.
The latter is published from Post Office Box 5025 Washington Station, Reno, Nevada, 89503. The subscription rate is $7.50 per year.
During all those years, I mean, I got involved with DOB in what seems to me like ancient history, but DOB was going since I was a pup. It sort of seemed kind of staid when I got involved with it, and I was sort of the wild-eyed hairy monster around my local chapter. And I was wondering how it seemed like to you during the time that, and how it's changed since it got started.
Well, DOB began in 1955 in San Francisco when eight women got together just in the home of a pair of the women and decided that an organization needed to be started to deal specifically with the lesbian in society. And the approach of the organization then was education of the lesbian to enable the lesbian to fit in to society as a whole, to change, not necessarily change, but at least to make it possible for the lesbian to deal with the world around her in such a way that she would not be as uncomfortable as many lesbians have been made to feel in various social and job and home situations. And also some attempt at making education of the public, that is, making the public realize that lesbians were not monsters. And in doing this, there was a lot of bending over backward to present a very good public image. It seems ludicrous in 1972 to say that at one time one of the specified printed goals of the organization was to advocate a dress code that involved meetings in which everyone wore skirts and slacks were not allowed. Slacks were not allowed at certain types of meetings. And if dances were held, they started at a certain hour in the evening, probably say 8 o'clock, and they broke up promptly at 12, at which everyone put down whatever they were drinking and left. Most of the time, in any chapter though, the idea through the years was to present a very favorable public image, that is, we are all middle class, we are all respectable, we are all white, we are all pure, we are all perfect, we have no flaws, no faults, and you should love us genuinely because we have no flaws and faults.
Except for a little itty-bitty thing like happening to be two women instead of a heterosexual couple.
Right. This was definitely the sometimes spoken and always implied approach of the organization. Now, there again, this is a generalization, and you can't stick to this, because during more recent years in New York City, certainly that has not been the attitude of the organization at all, and these things have changed along with the increasing women's liberation movement and with the increasing gay liberation movement, both of which have had discernible effects on DOB, and through the years, these things had a definite effect on the magazine, the latter. As long as it was under the auspices of DOB, though, there was a deliberate, specific injunction that every editor lived with, that there was to be no sexuality except by implication. That is, people were lovers, but it was implied, much in the same way as the television program Gunsmoke, in which I believe the hero has a girlfriend and everybody knows it, but it's never been expressed during its 10 or so years on the air and television.
Well, when did the latter start getting a little sexuality in there?
About the time I became the editor of the magazine and decided that since
it's a very sexy broad.
Not really. I just decided that sexuality was certainly a part of the lesbian relationship. I think it's understandable. I'll make an aside here. I think it's understandable that an organization that originally was designed to help the lesbian live in the society rather than force the society to accept the lesbian, would naturally take the approach of, if you appear to be in every way Simon Pure, you have a better chance of succeeding. And since in the heterosexual view, I shouldn't be general about this, but most heterosexuals have the rather morbid fantasy that lesbians spend all of their time in bed or engaging in sexual acts. In fact, a great many heterosexuals consider lesbianism simply a sexual fact, where actually, of course, this is just a part of the life, just as it is for everyone. It's simply a portion of the love relationship and hasn't really anything whatsoever special to do with the subject. Being a lesbian does not therefore mean that you spend all your time in bed, but on the other hand, it's not right to have a magazine presenting fiction supposedly about lesbians in which you give the impression that they're all neuter sexually. And so, first in poetry and then to some extent in fiction, we began running material that dealt with sex fairly honestly, fairly forthrightly. We don't run pornography, but the only reason for that is that there's very little appeal in pornography for our audience, which is at least 99% women.
Well, let's see now. I remember some woman who was speaking for DOB in New York being asked the question, but what do lesbians do outside of bed?
What the lady was asked was, what do lesbians do in the daytime? And that particular quote, I've used it myself talking with people. I think probably every lesbian spokeswoman at one time or another is asked, either in honest curiosity or in slightly less than honest curiosity, some question having to do with sexuality. But this, I think, stems not so much from prurient interest as the fact that even today, sex education per se is really lacking. Very little is told about the mechanics of sexuality. So for women whose experience has been exclusively with men, the obvious fact that there are no there's no penis involved brings up the question of just exactly how is contact made.
And phone calls with heavy breathing.
This could genuinely cause women whose sexual experience with men has been limited to sexual intercourse, perhaps without any foreplay, to assume that there might be something very peculiar, strange, or unusual about the sexual congress between two women.
What do?
Did you get any heavy reaction when you started printing stuff that was more explicitly sexual?
Oh, yes, you get. There are prudes of one kind or another in any group, and you have lesbians who feel very genuinely that, first of all, there are some lesbians who are offended by overtly descriptive sexually, just like there are lots of quote-unquote heterosexual people who are offended. There are even a few males in the world who do not like sexuality spelled out. I'm sure that most of the audience will find this unbelievable, but I'm reasonably certain it's true. I've read it several reliable places anyway. And there are always people who like to fight with you regardless of what you write.
I know why.
This is Martha Shelley for Lesbian Nation. We'll be back again 2 weeks from tonight.